You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
2 weeks ago, the Victoria University of Wellington Students Association put its membership in the New Zealand Union of Students Associations up for a vote. The result of 317 votes in support of withdrawing membership to 304 was a razor-sharp vote, which we'll come back to, but such a vote isn't new. Last year, the Auckland University Student Association, or AUSA, in its annual general meeting last year, decided with 50 votes to 28 to secede from the union in 12 months, in which they'll have time to work through issues they have with the union before they ask themselves again if they'll want to follow through with a break-off. The New Zealand Union of Student Associations, or the NZUSA, for those unaware, is the national organisation representing tertiary students nationwide. Since their establishment in 1929, they've lobbied the government on issues and policy, maintained alliances across departments and other groups, and now conduct campaigns like Thursdays in Black, and have lately pushed for a universal education income. So why are the two big university student bodies leaving the NZUSA? And what is the National Student Body Union doing to keep members in? Joining me now and listening to that preamble is NZUSA President Andrew Lascelles. Kia ora, Andrew.
Kia ora, Corey.
Now, let's start off with these concerns that AUSA have. So they addressed in a discussion paper last year that the concerns they have center around three things. One of them is the structure of your organization, which to them makes it unclear what members are responsible for when they engage with their students in campaigns. They argue that the membership fees are too high and thus not justified, and that the organization as a whole does not represent all tertiary students across Aotearoa. What do you have to say to those claims?
I think that AUSA's concerns that they raised last year do really have some validity. And we as NZUSA and our members, because of course we are a member-owned organisation, have been working really hard to address those concerns. On the first concern around the structure of NZUSA and how we engage, we do completely acknowledge that our structure is something that was, as with any organisation that's been around for 93 years, landed on by accident and by history rather than design. And we are fully committed to reforming how we operate and actually changing for the changing face of tertiary education. And we know that change is always a good thing if we do it right, and that's something we're committed to working through with members right now and have a reform underway. When it comes to membership fees, again, we acknowledge that the fees are a historical reality of NZUSA, and I fully acknowledge that the previous fee structure we had that was in place when AUSA voted to leave was a structure that didn't account for the inconsistency of funding across student associations. It was a very broad brush fee structure based on how many members associations had, and that isn't effective if you have some associations that get $10 of funding per student, as Auckland does, and others who get $100 of funding per student. So we've tweaked the system and are currently rolling out consultation on how we make the structure better, and that will land in the next month or two. So we've really tried to address that concern. And on the third concern, we do agree that NZUSA isn't entirely reflective of every tertiary student. There are 400,000 of them, and I think that that's a goal we will always strive towards. Though we are putting real effort into growing our voice in the tertiary sector, we're putting real effort into growing student voice within the polytechnic sector, where we know there are 230,000 learners who haven't had a representative voice. There are huge numbers of learners in work-based education who haven't had a voice. So we're really focusing as much as we can on growing that voice, because the more students we can claim to represent and the more students we do represent, the easier it is for us to get wins for those students.
Right. So let's dive in to the three concerns in more detail here. So you've just acknowledged that the membership fees set by the organization so far have been kind of unfair at this point, maybe a bit too high, and that should change, correct?
Yes, we do know that the membership structure is, and the fee structure is a structure that's existed prior to voluntary student membership, and we know that the introduction of voluntary student membership did have a significantly different impact on different associations, and the fee structure didn't change to recognise that, and that's something that we've gone about setting right.
Now, I just want to acknowledge that, because I've got a memo here that we've obtained here at BFM News that details a membership levy fact sheet as well as a proposed budget for last year. I just want to point this out so that our audience know, NZUSA would have collected $209,000 in total levy income last year. And that would make about 90% of your overall income that you do get income from other places. Yet more than half of that amount was proposed to be spent on salaries alone. And in fact, the final costings from the 2020 financial year read salaries made up for 55% of the expenditure. Could NZUSA be doing its job more cost effectively?
I think that there are always going to be costs of running an organisation that represents 14 member associations across Aotearoa. The salary costs that NZUSA has are actually very low in comparison to many of our member associations. We run quite a tight ship in our national office. We have a full-time national president and a full-time vice president, both of whom are paid the living wage because we believe in that policy, but they are actually paid less than most local association presidents. So we really try to live within our means in that resourcing space. But we do acknowledge that it is always a balancing act for NZUSA around how much we have in salaries and how much we have in staff time as compared to how much we dedicate towards campaigns. But a lot of that staff time will be going towards things like campaigns, things like public media presence, things like supporting members on the ground. And it is something that, of course, members set our budget and members set our levies. And, of course, it is their decision at the end of the day what they think staffing and national office should look like. And that's why we have the current system.
Let's move on now to how your organisation represents tertiary students in Aotearoa. Just previously, you said that you guys don't necessarily represent all tertiary students. And, in fact, I want to go back to the AUSA discussion paper that says NZUSA hosts subcommittees and associations which act as representative bodies for specific student communities. And I'll do a direct quote here. Quote, while these bodies are used as opportunities for members to share their ideas and work together on larger campaigns, only NZUSA members are invited to take part of these conversations, meaning they are not truly representative of tertiary students in New Zealand, unquote. What do you make of that remark there?
I think it's justified. I think that the way NZUSA historically has run as an organisation has been very membership focused. And of course, we are a union, so membership is vitally important to us. But for me as national president, and I've been consistent on this, for me as national president, partnership matters more than membership. And we have, under my tenure, engaged with non-members far more. The only way you convince non-members to become members is by showing your value and by working with them. And that's something that I've been steadfastly committed to. So our committee structures now have non-member representatives on many of them. Non-members are very heavily involved in the reforms that we're currently undertaking because, of course, those who aren't in NZUSA have valid reasons for not being there. And that's something that we really need to capture and have recognised the value of capturing.
Let's talk about those non-members for a second, because it's worth mentioning that the student bodies of Waikato University, AUT and Canterbury University are not members of NZUSA. So my question here would be, like, how do you represent roughly 55,000 students who aren't members of your union and aren't remotely close to your headquarters in Wellington?
With those students, we do still work really closely with those associations. We meet regularly with those associations. And as I said, partnership matters more to us than membership in many ways. So before we take active stances on issues that affect tertiary students across the country, we actually engage with non-member associations as well to figure out what their stances are on these issues. So we do make sure we never talk on their behalf and never speak on their behalf. And when we do have major campaigns, we always seek their involvement. You would have seen through some of our major work last year was around COVID-19, and the National Student Action Plan on COVID-19 was signed by 50 different student associations across Aotearoa alongside NZUSA, some members, some non-members, some partner associations as well. And that's really how we operate as an organisation. If you represent students and you've got a voice representing students, we want to be working with you and alongside you regardless of what your membership status is.
Let's move on to, I think it was the final point here. The discussion paper itself does acknowledge the great work in campaigning for student causes on a nationwide scale that NZUSA does. In fact, it actually starts on that. AUSA would like to see change before it considers rejoining in June this year. And according to their executive, a working group is researching the best leadership model for NZUSA. How is that process going?
So we're in the process of establishing our Reform of Democratic Structures Working Group. we are very aware that reform is a process that needs to be carefully managed, and reform is a process that you need to get right. And actually, a big part of having an effective reform is making sure that we have the right voices in the room. So that committee is made up of a variety of university and polytechnic members of NZ USA, being aware that there is a difference between those two organisations, made up of non-members of NZ USA and also vitally partner associations of NZ USA, so Te Mana Akonga, the National Māori Tertiary Students Association, Te Uira Pacifica, the National Disabled Students Association as well, and really closely working with them. So that's the process for reform, and that committee will be appointing an independent chair to lead its work, and will also be ensuring that there is independent advice for NZ USA about the best structure to have, because we may know what works and what doesn't work, but having independent advice around what the best structure may be going forward is vitally important.
I do have to ask how long this change is expected to take, because I don't imagine everything in regards to changing your structure can take place within just 1 year alone. And knowing that people such as yourself in your role as national president, you know, you're only here for this year, and maybe you can try and run for next year as well, I don't know. But how can students feel comforted in this process when they know that administrations are changing on a yearly basis?
NZUSA has committed throughout this reform process that regardless of who is in national office or regardless of the status of national office, we will continue to drive this change. And we are always in national office of NZUSA, accountable to the membership and accountable to our member associations. So they will be making sure whoever's in this role and my role next year will be getting this process right. It's really important we don't rush it. We started conversations last year about what reform could look like, but we actually decided as students were going through the Delta outbreak back then of COVID and going through major challenges there, talking about what the ideal national student voice could look like was less important than the student voice we have now, advocating for things like tertiary hardship funds, advocating for things like more mental health support, advocating for things like universal education income. So we've been really cautious to have these conversations in a way that everyone can engage in them and that we're not putting aside other vitally important mahi in the here and now.
Now, a survey from the working group is actually making its rounds according to the minutes from AUSA exec meetings, and the working group is asking about membership levies. Now, how welcome would NZUSA be if it is recommended to them by the working group that levies should be reduced or made more equitably?
We would fundamentally support that. I do think that NZUSA levies have become too much of NZUSA's overall budget, and they do place a disproportionate burden on our members who are all often under-resourced as well themselves. So we have a real priority as National Office, regardless of what the levy consultation says. We have a priority as National Office to diversify our income streams and diversify the revenue we receive, because we can't just expect only students to pay for this. If we want to have a genuinely representative tertiary sector that engages in partnership with students, tertiary providers need to come to the table to support student voice. The government needs to come to the table to support student voice. And we need to make sure it's not just our poor, underfunded members who are expected to carry the can for NZUSA, and we're very aware of that fact.
Right. Let's move on to what happened 2 weeks ago. Victoria University student body had a referendum where most respondents who voted on the question said that they supported a withdrawal from NZUSA. Where does the union stand on those results?
We are disappointed, and we have made this disappointment clear to Victoria. We are disappointed in the process they ran for the referendum. Student engagement, student turnout was around about 3.9%, which is under their 5% requirement for a referendum to be binding, and the vote was incredibly close as well. We had about 34% of students vote in favour of leaving, about 33% vote in favour of remaining, and the remainder were actually abstentions. So to us, that speaks to a referendum process that didn't have enough engagement and communication with students. Students didn't feel confident to actively take a stance on this decision. We made a conscious decision not to actively engage in the referendum. It's a decision for Victoria students. But in that process, we did have expectations upon VUSA to do a better job of engaging with their students. And at their general meeting, they owned the fact that they didn't do that well enough. So we're disappointed by the result, but we're also disappointed by the process.
Do you think they'll actually move with leaving the union?
We have not received written notice of their intention to leave as of yet. So we are not aware of their decision in this space. And I don't want to preempt any decision from VUSA, but we haven't had any written notice of them leaving yet, which is the process required. And if they do present written notice to NZUSA, we then have to go through our constitution. We have a requirement under our constitution for a member to prove to our National Council, which is made up of all of our members, that they have received a genuine student mandate to leave. And given the controversy surrounding this referendum, there would likely be discussion at our National Council around whether this did qualify as a genuine student mandate. Of course, that's not my decision to make, but that is a conversation that would happen were VUSA to put forward written notice.
Now, VUSA have actually left and rejoined NZUSA before. Even with that being said, surely NZUSA must be worried when things like this happen, when student bodies are thinking of gapping the union, they put it to a vote and then they win. Surely that must be concerning for you a lot.
Absolutely, it is a concern. I think that it is a challenge for any organisation with the diversity of membership that we have and the diversity of priorities that NZUSA has across our membership. It is really hard to keep everyone completely happy all of the time, and it's not unusual for NZUSA members to come and leave. That's been the reality across our history. But I think it does speak to the fact that our student associations on the ground are under-resourced, are underfunded, and it can be really hard. And I know, having been a local student leader myself, it can be really hard to justify NZUSA levies that you see going to a really worthwhile organisation that does real good, but you see that going out to the detriment of something like a hardship fund that you can actually see the impact that has on your students on the ground in the here and now. And NZUSA membership is an investment, and that investment does offer great rewards, things like interest-free student loans, things like first-year fees free, things like the hardship fund for learners, things like the technology access fund for learners. There are really great things that we've achieved as NZUSA, but you don't necessarily see them in the here and now all of the time. And that's the really hard decision that member associations have to make around where their resourcing is best put.
I think you've like preemptively already answered my last question here, but if I give you a time limit of 15 seconds, let's see if you can do this. Say I'm a member of a student association and we're thinking of leaving. Why should we stay in the NZUSA?
Over our 93-year history, NZUSA has been the only organisation advocating for students, from interest-free student loans to fees-free to hardship fund for learners and $25 million in mental health support. We're the only organisation that speaks on behalf of students, and students are far stronger as a united voice and a collective voice than they are in individual silos. And that's why NZUSA membership is so important, because we can speak as a powerful, strong national voice representing 400,000 people, nearly 10% of our population.
NZUSA President Andrew Lascelles. Now, as you heard Andrew say, the referendum at Victoria University suffered from poor voter turnout. So much so, it's only considered to be an indicative result and non-binding. I asked VUSA several questions and they released a statement saying they are well aware of the concerns surrounding the vote and details given to the students on the pros and cons of NZUSA membership was not as plentiful as it should have been. They say the low turnout is caused by different factors, most pressing being COVID-19. However, when asked whether VUSA would send its 12-month leave notice to NZUSA, they avoided the question altogether. NZUSA will continue its process of reformation, and the AUSA is expected to hold a special general meeting before June this year to consider its membership one last time. Reporting for The Wire, I'm Corey Foimaono.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.